Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of Christ. Chapter 4. A proposition of a gospel without Christ or that despises the Lord Jesus can never express the true gospel of God. When Christ came in the flesh to the world, he was faithful in manifesting who he is. He did not omit to testify of the many aspects that the Heavenly Father himself had determined about him. John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Similarly, the Heavenly Father also never omitted to make public, even with an audible voice coming from heaven to many people, that Jesus Christ is the eternal Savior and Lord, the Emmanuel, the Christ who came from heaven, the beloved Son in whom God is pleased. God, for thousands of years, inspired people to preach and announce the coming of the gospel of his kingdom and that in Christ all his purpose would be manifested, that is, that in Christ would be converged all the promises of the novelty of life that God had made during the centuries that preceded the coming of the Lord in the flesh to the world. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, "and to seeds, as of many," but "as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." All pre-announcements of the gospel, all the announcements of the coming of the gospel, and all the scriptures after the arrival of the gospel to the world point to the irrevocable condition of Christ as the indispensable character or being of the entire gospel. Water, for instance, is water only because of the composition of two distinct elements, that is, H2 plus O. If one takes H2 out of the water ceases to exist as water, because what is left of water, without H2, is no longer water but oxygen. Likewise, if one makes a proposition to exclude the Lord Jesus Christ as an integral and essential part of the gospel of God and Christ, the result will no longer be the gospel of the Lord. If anyone tries to disassociate Christ from God and the heavenly gospel, what will remain in one's expectations will no longer be the unique sovereign and eternal God described in the Bible. From the beginning to the end of the gospel of God, the position of the Lord Jesus is proclaimed as the Christ coming from God, as the essential part of the gospel, just as Christ is as well announced as being one with God and, as we saw in the previous chapter, being also God. Some people claim to believe in the God of the Bible but at the same time also declare that they do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Bible presents him. However, according to the Bible, this hypothesis is absolutely invalid. If the Lord Jesus Christ were not who the Bible declares he is, the so-called Word of God would be a lying expression and, consequently, the one God presented by the Bible, the unique righteous and true God, also could not exist. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. 10 He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. If Christ were not the one the scriptures proclaim he is, the Bible would constitute the greatest fraud and the most brilliant false tale ever produced in all ages. If Christ were not the person the scriptures narrated that he is, the Bible would be the most notable book of fiction ever conceived in all human existence, there being, in history, no other production of literary fiction that could even come close to what was produced in these scriptures. In addition, and as also mentioned in the subject history told by the unique Father of all sons and daughters, if the Bible were a work of fiction, it would be an unimaginable human literary production. Even on the natural level of literature, the scriptures prove unimaginable to have been conceived merely by the natural human mind, for they contain a particular condition also because they have been complemented perfectly over many years, or even centuries, and by writers who lived in distinct regions, at different times, under different cultures, and under the most varied conditions pertinent to each period of these writers. And if Jesus of Nazareth were not the Christ, who came down from heaven, how could he make that every one of the most several facts prophesied about his life during so many centuries became fulfilled faithfully? What simple man, of a humble home and profession, could devise an action that would lead him to be put on trial simultaneously by King Herod, by the high priest, and by the Roman governor Pilate, and, still, that would lead him to be put to death by the death of the cross precisely in the week of the Passover celebration, contradicting the Hebrews' judgments which order to kill by stoning? And if Jesus of Nazareth were not the eternal Christ, how, for instance, could he manipulate the facts so that his opponents would give him a royal robe and that the Roman soldiers would be casting lots for it during the crucifixion, as had been prophesied centuries before these events occurred? From the scriptures' point of view, the attempt to deny the testimony that God himself gives about his beloved Son is utterly absurd. A person may choose not to believe what is described by the scriptures, in the God presented in the Bible, and in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. However, if someone does a real and honest study of the Bible, even just from a literary standpoint, one will see that God and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparably intertwined with each other in the Gospel, as well as throughout the writings preceding the coming of Christ to the world. It is crucial to understand that just as Christ is the expression of God to the world and that the acceptance of Christ in the heart is as well the acceptance of God in the heart, so also the rejection of Christ is the rejection of God himself. The fact that people say that they want God, but do not want Christ, is an indirect way of saying that they do not want God himself, for God is as Christ is. In the material on the Gospel of the Creator, it was described in more detail that resistance to the Gospel of God is a resistance of the creature against the will of the Creator. So, if the creature does not want to submit to the Creator, it will not want to submit to the Creator in any way that the Creator manifests his sovereignty and lordship, as, for instance, in Christ. Moreover, since Christ is the most objective and direct means of God to reveal himself to the creature, it is also to be expected that the resistance to Christ will be more strongly manifested than the resistances in general to God. If, on the one hand, Christ is the most tangible and the closest manner of God revealing himself to human beings, on the other side, it is also against Christ that the greatest oppositions, rejections, and contempt of human beings directed to God have been and continue to be manifested. In Christ, there was and is the highest manifestation of the glory of God bestowed upon human beings, but it is also regarding Christ and his name that there have been the most critical manifestations of wrath, on the part of the creation, against God. In Christ is the largest concentration of the manifested love of God for the creature, but also in the actions against Christ and his name that the most intense contempt and wrath against the heavenly love and the offerer of this love have been expressed. Colossians 1:13-16. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He, the Son of God's love, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. John 3:31-36. He who comes from above is above all, he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 10, 30-31. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Since Christ is the point of convergence of the gospel of God, it is also in relation to Christ that has occurred the convergence of oppositions to this same gospel. Given the supreme purpose of God to reveal himself through Christ, the clear manifestation of who Christ is in the gospel will also be the point of the most active resistance to this gospel, as well as to the grace and the newness of life offered through it to the world. Jude 1, 1-4. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Undoubtedly, one of the most prominent attacks on the gospel of God and Christ is the attempt to disassociate the figure of Christ from God or the effort to discredit the person of Christ and the central position he occupies in the whole gospel of the Lord and in all creation. Throughout Christ's pilgrimage on earth, he was incessantly tempted and pressed to deny his position of who he was as God and in God. The continuous questioning addressed to Christ if he was indeed the Son of God was made repeatedly from the beginning of his ministry, when the devil came to tempt him in the wilderness, to the final moments in which Christ was in pain and agony on the cross of Calvary, as exemplified in some texts below. Matthew 26, 63-66. But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, He is deserving of death. Luke 22, 67-69. If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. John 10, 24-25. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Luke 23, 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Matthew 27:40. And saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Christ is God's greatest expression to humankind. Therefore, how an individual reacts to Christ is also the most striking manifestation of how he or she positions oneself regarding God. So, the great challenge of an appropriate exposition of the gospel of God and Christ is the proper exposition of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the gospel of God. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? On the other hand, since one of the main challenges of appropriately preaching the gospel is to faithfully maintain the association between Christ and God and Christ and the gospel, the attempts of the alternative propositions to the gospel of God will continually seek, in one way or another, to dissociate the figure of Christ from his sovereignty as the only begotten Son of God, trying to do so in a direct or subtle way. The oppositions to Christ may try to be presented in the most varied forms, including through the so-called apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, brothers, and those who falsely offer to be priests on the lives of their fellow men and who claim to represent Christ to others. These false agents do not aim indeed to lead people to be disciples of Christ but of themselves or any other form of worship than the frank and direct relationship with the Lord Jesus, as also exemplified in the following texts. 2 Corinthians 11, 13-14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. John 10, 11-13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. 2 Peter 2, 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. Galatians 2, 3-5. Yet not even Titus who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Jeremiah 2, 26-27. As the thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they and their kings and their princes, and their priests and their prophets. Saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back to me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble they will say, arise, and save us. Acts 20, 29-31. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Galatians 5, 4-9. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Knowing who Christ is to God or in God, and who Christ is in the gospel of God, is vital for everyone who wants to receive eternal life and grow in the Lord. When people do not recognize the unique attributes of Christ and begin to present any other mediating means or other mediating persons to an alleged relationship of an individual with God, they resist what God established in Christ and what the Lord Jesus accomplished through the cross of Calvary in favor of all human beings. Those who try to distort the condition and position of Christ established by God and the position of Christ in His gospel should be avoided and their doctrines resisted by trusting in the word of the Lord and the Lord Himself. Psalms 26, 4. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1-2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Hebrews 10, 19-23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He, Christ, consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. In this way, any individual who makes a proposition of a gospel contrary to the irrevocable position of Christ, to the words of Christ, and to Christ as the unique and firm foundation of truth and life is announcing something that is contrary to the gospel of God. 1 Timothy 6, 3-5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Christ came to offer a way or a perfect manner of relationship with God, but He never came to offer it apart from Himself. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8, 6. But now He, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. 1 Timothy 2, 5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. The position of Christ before God can never be dissolved or mixed with solutions entirely or partially contrary to Christ. And the attempt to denigrate Christ's exclusive position should always be readily rejected by a Christian. The position of Christ in the gospel of God is unique, unequaled, and cannot be assumed and claimed by anyone but Christ Himself. Acts 4, 11-12. This, Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Bearing in mind that the root of the motivations contrary to the gospel of the Creator is the resistance of the creation to its Creator, to the extent that the creature objectifies to diminish God to the position of the creature and to elevate the creature to the position of God, we may understand more broadly why the resistance to the gospel of Christ is also so intensely focused on attempts to reduce the figure of Christ to a mere man and to try to elevate human beings to be Christ's. Following, we can see some more examples of texts related to the considerations of the previous paragraph. Matthew 24, 22-24. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Mark 13:21-22. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or, "Look, he is there," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Luke 21:8. And he said, "Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and, 'The time has drawn near.' Therefore do not go after them." Matthew 24:5. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. Therefore, why are many deceived? Many individuals in the world are deceived because they do not discern the one true Christ. If they knew the true Christ, they would not be confused by the voice of false Christs. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:4-5. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We recall here that the word Christ means the anointed of God, or the one anointed by God to be Savior and King. And throughout the existence of the universe, there is only one who is entitled the Anointed One of God and who is also the only begotten and eternal Son of God. The Lord Jesus makes a severe warning that many will come to say that they are especially anointed, using this also as a pretext to rise above their fellow men and to present themselves to them as their chiefs or guides. However, the Lord Jesus likewise warned that they are false anointed ones who actually aspire to be equated to the Lord in aspects that they should never attempt to be equated with him. Matthew 23:8-10. But you, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. And do not be called teachers, or guides, for one is your teacher, or guide, the Christ. Considering that Christ is the only one chosen by God to be who he is, no one else should aim to be what Christ is exclusive, for the one who does so, longs for what a person can never achieve. Thus, people who do not relate to Christ are deceived because they know neither God nor his word, for both the knowledge of God and the heavenly understanding of the word of God are granted only through Christ Jesus. John 5:39-40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Since Christ is the greatest revelation ever given of who God is and that Christ is the truth of God, also the most direct, shortest, and most efficient way to know God and to have fellowship with the Heavenly Father is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The acceptance of human beings as sons before the Heavenly Father and the fellowship with God has a specific door and way called the Lord Jesus Christ, which can be accessed by heavenly grace through faith in the Christ revealed and proclaimed by the gospel of God to the world. Unfortunately, however, many people have still insisted on seeking God by alternative ways and by trying to bypass the fellowship with the unique one whom God has chosen as the only way to the newness of life that is in him. Finally, in this chapter, we further emphasize the Lord's teaching that once a person accepts God's invitation to be and remain in Christ, nothing of the present world or the world to come can separate him or her from the love of God that is in Christ. And this is also why the darkness militates so strongly against all faithful announcements of the gospel of Christ and for people not coming to receive Christ and to abide in him. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Any proposition of a gospel that does not have Christ as an indispensable and essential aspect of the gospel is a proposition dissociated from true love, and, therefore, it is not a gospel indeed. This kind of proposition, in fact, is not an offer of good news that has eternal benefits for people. The eternal love that God offers people through His gospel has a unique and specific address where it can be found, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ.